Anyhow, I was telling about Maria. Maria works on the intensive care unit, and she really has an awfully hard ward to work on. I don't envy her at all. The patients are terribly sick, just terribly sick, and most of them are in comas, and sometimes they're sent out that way, sent home that way, never to respond or to die when they get home. And sometimes they die there. But they're terribly, usually they're very badly wounded, and it's rather discouraging. And one of the young nurses said to me the other day, I must have called to say we had something we were going to be sending up there, and she said, could you do me a favor? And I said, well, what is it? She said, could you send us one that talks? And I said, well, I'll send you one that talks, but he's Vietnamese, it's not going to be any good. So it is sort of, it's really very sad, and I wouldn't want her job. And it's a very responsible job, and when you don't have the cooperation of the doctor, then you really have to do something. And she went to, as I say, you're the captain. And that was that. I don't know what action is going to be taken, but something will be taken. Because she can't put up with that any length of time. I have two that are totally useless. Both are Jewish. I mean, we have one on board who is Jewish. His name is Dr. Applebaum, who is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely. But we have two that are really, really useless. I don't know if I mentioned one was a hotel doctor. I can't tell you the name of the hotel in Boston, but he's fully trained, board-qualified surgeon. He can't do anything. He really can't do a thing. And the other night he was in there, and I nearly had a fit. But I have to keep my mouth shut sometimes, too. But anyhow, one of the other doctors went in there. They don't let him operate alone. He's 44 years old. I think the captain's going to get him off the ship because we don't have room for people who can't pull their own weight. Plus, we have a couple of nurses that aren't the swiftest things going either. But they'll learn. They'll have to learn after a while because they're new. And I guess that's part of it. You know, you get discouraged trying to show these people. Then we had the other one came over here. The kids call him Harry Hollywood or Luscious Larry. His name is Larry Seifert. And he's the biggest phony from Hollywood and Vine, you know. And he's a plastic surgeon and all this business. He's going to do this in his office and that in his office and, oh, he's going to do this and that. And he's very typical of some of the people of his race. Not all, but some of them. And, oh, he is. He told me the other day that he couldn't communicate with me, and I said, that's right, he couldn't. I mean, that was just all there was to it. I can't communicate with him. He's just impossible. But, I mean, if I were the only one having this problem, well, it would be one thing. In fact, he went to the captain about something that he didn't have enough, something about the equipment he didn't have. So last night, when I had real bad emergencies, about 11 o'clock at night, the captain, commanding officer of the hospital, came down and asked me about it. Oh, I nearly had a hemorrhage. I told him the story. I said, well, now, and unfortunately, the chief of orthopedics, who is this Leo Willett from Cheshire, who, by the way, is a Holy Cross graduate, sat in the office, and the captain's a very dignified, gentlemanly sort of man, and he said, Dr. Seifert tells me he doesn't have the proper dermatones to work with and all this business, and Leo just spoke up and said, horse manure. And I had all I could do. I thought the captain was going to fall through the chair, but that's the worst he's ever heard. So, and that's always something. It's they always want things right now. Happily, over the years in the Navy, I've learned to make everything out in duplicates. So when they want something, then I'm able to. And when they lose it, and you know, it's a funny thing, like the captain, if they put in new ORs, the captain wanted to know how many people we would need. Well, then he goes around and he asks the chief nurse and he asks personnel and everybody else how many they think we need. And they in turn call me up and say, would you give us the figures on this? So that it's such a waste of time, you know. I mean, if he thinks that they're giving him any original ideas, he's crazy, because they're not. But it's the way they do business, so what can I say? And it's not by means of any complaint at all. Our captain has orders. Captain Drew, the commanding officer of the ship, is going to the naval station in Philadelphia. And I think it's good that he's getting off the ship. His wife and children are living in Hawaii right now. I don't know that he wanted to go to the East Coast, but I think it's good that he's going, getting out of here. I don't know what the new CO will be like, but I'm sure he'll be okay. My relief is supposed to come in March sometime. She keeps moving up my date of when I'm supposed to leave the ship. But you got me. I don't know when I'm going or where I'm going. She's a very, our chief nurse, very strange woman. So, and some of the girls get very upset about this, and they have almost a temper tantrum that they came the 10th of the month, and they want to be, and the law says you should be relieved the 10th of the month, but the way I feel about it is when they send me, they send me. I'll have done my year, and if I do a year in 2 weeks or something, it's not, that's not the end of the world. So I'm not going to get myself all worried up about that. And a matter of fact, I'm really not too unhappy about leaving the 1st of, if I left around the 1st of April, I wouldn't be too unhappy, because that way, if I got an apartment, I could probably get a renter for the 1st of May. And be moved in, you know, by the time I would really like to be moved in by the time I started at Chelsea. Because it's an awful chore trying to get moved in when you're not, they don't give you the time off at the hospitals like they did at Richmond to get moved in. You know, once you go to work at the hospitals, that's it. I got a nice letter from Miss Murray. She told me I'm going to be in the operating room there. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. They have a couple of, they have schools for techs and they have a school for nurses there, and me, whatever I'm going to do, probably supervision of some sort. That's all right. And I hope it's not teaching. I really don't feel that I want to do that. I did it, you know, and it's all right, but I just don't want to do it. I would rather do administration and supervision. Oh, there's the phone. I swear I'm the only one up here that ever answers that telephone. Kathy and myself. Oh, I also sent you a bunch of pictures home. You know, they're from Hong Kong, and I think some of them are from Baguio, too. I got a kick out of Peg. Peg didn't recognize him first. With the dark hair, you know, I suppose it's been so long. Dark with quite a bit of gray, I might add. She hadn't, the last time she saw me, there was a blonde or a redhead. And everybody, it's a little startling. They just don't recognize me with the dark hair, but I think I'll keep it. I don't think I'm going to go bother and going blonde or any other color anymore. It's not so bad. Right now it's kind of long, but, you know, for the way I've been wearing it, but I think I might let it grow out, try a different style. We'll see. Some hairdresser was supposed to come out here with some kind of a mod style show. Of course, the kids are all interested in getting their hair cut. They don't give a darn about the style show if he'd come out and cut the hair, but it's been canceled. I suppose the weather and everything else. And then Troy Downey was supposed to come out, too. I don't know what for, but anyhow, he was supposed to come out. But we haven't, except for Martha Ray coming out and one or two Australian USO shows, we haven't had anything in the year I've been out here. So, I don't know. Maybe they go into the beach. I suppose they only want to go where there's a big, big crowd. Like, they're going ashore tomorrow night, too, and today I looked at the list, and they accommodate 40 people, but only two women, two of the girls have signed up. I don't go, because I just, as I said, they drink, when they go ashore, they drink very heavily, and because it's a, they feel they need a tremendous release, and I'm not condemning this at all. I'm not saying a word about it. I just don't, I don't care for it, and so I don't go. Well, I'll have quite a collection of tapes when I get home, you know, pre-recorded tapes, three-hour stuff and all this. I must have 60 tapes when I get my tape recorder set up, finally, and everything back home. Let's see, what other news do I have? I'm doing pretty well, considering I don't have anything to tell you, really, as far as the ship is concerned. The other day over the 1MC, the officer of the deck made an announcement that it was rumored that the sun was spotted someplace in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Because we haven't had any sun or anything, you know, it's been bad. I don't know how the Chaplains have been getting in, but they manage with their emergency litters, with their daily head cases. And last night, this kid went bad so fast, and my kids had to get set up in record time, and they really did a beautiful job, and I was very proud of them. And of course, it makes me mad because they're always after me to get at them to get their haircuts and to get all that stuff done, you know, and I really, I think it can just nag so much, and when they do what they do well, their hair isn't, you know, way down long or anything like that. And I had to make arrangements to get them to the barber every Tuesday between 1 and 2. Well, it's been 3 weeks now, and I've had emergencies every Tuesday between 1 and 2, and I haven't been able to get them to go for their haircuts. I'll be getting blasted about that before long. So, but there's not much I can tell you along that line. They'll be saying, your people need haircuts. Let's see. Well, I'm not surprised about the vision part of Johnny's test, and in the long run, it's probably for the best, because I'm not even sure, as I looked over the things, I'm not even sure that he could have majored in, and I don't know that he can choose exactly what he wants to major in, either for the NIOTC. He can try the contract student NIOTC program, too, if he wants. But if he didn't make it because of his eyes, he didn't, and that's it. Someday they're going to have to change those vision requirements because there are so many kids with bad eyes, poor vision, in comparison to our generation. I think it's a television. But, of course, I don't know. If I can get to, I don't know, there's some talk about giving us 5 extra days leave. I say, yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll go to Japan or Bangkok or someplace if they let us go. I'd just as soon take the 5 days and go. I've got friends in Japan, and, you know, it'd be nice to get up there. Well, listen, it's getting near the end of the tape, and I'll say goodbye for now because I don't have anything else to tell you. And make a tape when you have a chance, and thanks again for sending the things that you sent, and for your Valentine, and also for the Valentines that you sent that I could send out to the children. And I'll keep on taping. I'll tell you when I know better what my plans are, when I'm going to leave, and when to start making tapes and everything, so that you won't be. And I'll probably write to that Kavanaugh's and ask them if they can get those chairs for me. So take care, and make a tape when you get the chance, and say hello to everyone for me. Bye for now.